listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, April 1st, if you believe it. My name is Michael Kelly here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, good evening, Michael. You know, I'm always glad to be here and happy April. It's April Fools. It's a full moon and some guys blast off to the moon.
Well, all of those things are true. Well, this day is not that special for me. I'm a fool all year round. Doesn't matter the day. So, and I enjoy it. But I love having you here. I'm excited for tonight. We have a special guest. We're getting into a great topic. And I can't wait to get into it. But, of course, we also want to remind everybody listening that Spirit of Life, of course, is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, you can also find other educational programs at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. And as always, we're going to begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Number 1, do no harm, do right. Number 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. Number 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And finally, 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So tonight, it is the first Wednesday of the month, and we are very excited to welcome Dr. Doug Kelly. Welcome.
Hello, everybody. Welcome. We yeah, well, I lost the screen where my mute button was.
But by the way, if anybody was wondering, there's no relation.
Yeah. Only by blood. All right. That's what my brother said one time. Somebody said, you two related? My brother said, only by blood. It was kind of funny at the time. So anyway, it's good to be here with everybody again. And it's funny, this program every week for so many years, and now I'm a special guest. I like that. Hope everybody had a chance to see the Artemis rocket launch today. It was pretty cool. We went out in the yard and looked that way, and we were unable to see anything. A few clouds and too many tall trees around here, but thought we might see something. It would have been cool. I remember watching the Apollo, you know, Saturn V rockets launching way back in the day, you know, early 70s, late, well, I just watched the moon landing and the first walk on the moon live. I was, what was I, 10 years old at the time? That was kind of cool. We were watching. We were in Vancouver, Canada, Vicki.
Wow.
At a religious convention, because, you know, that's what we did back then. And we had rented a trailer and pulled a trailer from Utah up to the convention in Vancouver. And we were in a little park that was right there on the grounds. It was cool. It was fun. But my dad had taken a black and white TV out there outside the trailer, and we were all in, you know, lawn chairs and everything and watching the moonwalk, Armstrong walking on the moon. It was cool. You know, that's where I was when that happened. So anyway, it was good to be able to see this again after 50 years. or more. And I hope some good comes of it. Yeah, unfortunately, more. So anyway, tonight I thought I would share some of my insights or some of my beliefs and what I've come to learn about various paranormal phenomena. Not that anybody necessarily should care or would care, but, you know, there are some things that I think might help, at least food for thought. And so I wanted to talk about that. And I thought I would just, start, you know, with, ghosts and spirits, and we'll talk about UFOs. We'll talk about cryptozoology and maybe even psychic phenomena. Did I leave anything out?
Well, if I can just inject here, Kevin in the chat has said that he read the newsletter, and mm-hmm. it seems to a great deal of your argument rests on the concept of spiritual development. I wonder mm-hmm. if you could elaborate at some point. Now, for the record, the newsletter is entitled A Reality Check on Alien Abductions. So for anybody who doesn't get the newsletter, that's what it was about. So he's just right. asking if you can maybe elaborate a bit.
I will do that. So let's talk about ghosts and spirits first. You know, I've been doing this for a decade or two more and had some very interesting paranormal investigations related to ghosts and spirits, you know, with my spirit team, which I formed way back in 2005. Yeah, it was 21 years ago, and we had some cool investigations in an old courthouse in Bartow, Florida. One of our members is Gregory, and he's a psychic medium type. Great guy, very nice guy, and he introduced us to table tipping, which was fascinating. I love table tipping because I could, you know, I studied it. When we were doing it, that table was moving, and I'm looking at everybody, you know, little fingertips on the table. No grip. You couldn't move it, and yet it was moving. And we had a lot of sessions with that, so it was fascinating. And, you know, and I have thoughts. Maybe it was collective consciousness of those at the table. Mm. That's one theory. Another theory is, you know, the ghosts and spirits that are there, the spirits will call them. We're essentially channeling through the collective energy of those at the table. You know, that's another theory. Another theory is that the spirits are moving it, but I tend to favor a combined effort. But it was fascinating how the table would move. And if you're a student in the parapsychology program or paranormal research or ufology, any of those, you'll see the videos that we did on some of the table tipping. And, you know, one time we were at Bartow, and we were doing a table tipping, kind of a smaller table, round table, and there were several of us sitting there, including Gregory and some other team members. And there had been reports of a, quote, lady in white. You know, everybody has, every place seems to have some lady in white, lady in gray, lady in red, whatever. But there was a lady in white that had been reported, and so I kindly said, you know, there have been reports of a lady in white here. Is a lady in white here? And the table kind of went crazy. And I mean, it started really moving like it was angry. And I made some comment about, well, you don't need to be angry. And the thing still went angry. And I said, look, we're just trying to make contact. And that table literally almost walked up my lap. It was funny. And, you know, look, you know, we're not here to hurt anybody. We're not being disrespectful. Mm-hmm. We're not provoking you. We don't do provoking. And that's another point. You know, provoking is wrong. There's some groups that go out there and just try to provoke a response. It's wrong. All right. So do spirits exist? Well, that's a good question. And it's not an easy question to necessarily answer. And I think that everybody has to answer that question for themselves in many ways. And you do so through investigation. You know, we have had so many experiences with psychics and table tipping and those kinds of things that, I have come to believe that yes, spirits exist. And that has helped to formulate my belief in essentially the next chapter. Some people call it the afterlife. But, you know, the next chapter, then we, you know, energy can't be created or destroyed, right? It can only be transformed. And so that's what happens, I believe. You know, I'll let you know someday or not. But I believe that. And so do spirits exist? Yes. You know, why do spirits show up? I've had so many people contact me over the years telling me all kinds of wild stories about how their place is haunted and this is happening and that's happening. And at this point in my life, you know, for me, no, it's not. Something might be happening, but it's not necessarily spirits. You know, they talk about poltergeists, right? Which is means noisy ghost. But a poltergeist is really RSPK, you know, recurrent spontaneous psychokinetic energy. And it's usually on the part of a human agent, often an adolescent girl, but not always. It can be really anybody. And so, you know, and that's how they react. It's like some people deal with stress. People deal with stress in all kinds of different ways. Some people get migraines. I did at one point in my life, about 10, 15 years, had migraines. Other people, you know, respond differently, and some of them react with this unconscious psychokinetic energy, and it can happen. Can ghosts or spirits harm you? Now, some people say yes, and I say no. They're essentially impotent, you know, in that way. They can't hurt flesh and blood people. Can they throw stuff at you? Well, allegedly they can, but I have never heard of a credible story, credible experience that happened. Can they move a table? Sure. You know, can they knock something off the counter? Perhaps. But can they throw knives at you? No. You know, it just, if they could, it'd be happening all over the place. And that leads me to another thing, possession. Is possession real? And the answer is yes and no. Is spirit possession real? No. Is possession real? Yes, but it's mostly by other people. Think about it for a minute. Most people are possessed, just not by spirits. They're possessed by other people. Anytime, you know, the woman won't press charges against her wife, beat her husband or boyfriend, tell me who is possessing that woman. He is. Anytime we have a bad case of them esteem, we're essentially possessed by other people, right? Them esteem, for those of you who may not know, essentially, I only feel good about myself when I'm doing what other people think I should be doing, whether it's mom, dad, wife, husband, partner, spouse, religious leader, you know, cult leader, whatever. That's them esteem. And if you have them esteem, you're essentially possessed by other people. Self-esteem means that I determine who I am. I validate myself and I have my own expectations and I'm not affected by what other people think of me or anything. I'm going to pause for a moment. Any questions? And if you do have questions, put them in the chat room and I'll be happy to answer them. Any comments? I'll move on.
I'm with you. I think that I had a conversation with someone today about getting bad thoughts, you know, when people say, oh, I've been under psychic attack or, you know, and they're trying to possess me. And I said, you know, when people, because we're all telepathic in a way, and you can pick up on energy and you can pick up on thoughts. But I just say, you're going to get whacked. Like, I'm not afraid of you. If I don't have the energy for that energy to connect with, it has no power over me.
Yeah. Yep.
So I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of you. Mm-hmm. Send all the energy you want, but, you know, I might just put up a mirror and whack that stuff back at you, and that's not fun because you're the one with the fear, not me.
When you're self-possessed, you cannot become possessed by anyone else. That's the whole point. That's what our schools teach, self-possession, taking your power back. Yep. Knowing who you are and why you are who you are, and standing on your own two feet, head held high, self-possession, self-actualization, self-completeness. That's part of the life leadership paragon.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so since you mentioned that, I want to make one more point, and then we'll just kind of move on to the next point, which I think would be a good transition to the psychic phenomena. But the point I want to make, the thing to think of, to remember about spirits is that they are essentially human beings. They are people. Okay, some of them are good and some of them are not so good, just like people. Can they harm you? No. But they might be wanting to contact you for some reason, and some people who have maybe a good psychic ability may tune into that, you know, unconsciously even, or not knowing that they're psychically gifted. And so some things will happen that they'll see or they'll notice. And it's these people trying, their spirits trying to contact them, because it's my belief that in the spirit world, if you're psychically gifted, you're like a beacon. You're a light, you know, to Moz type of thing. So they're attracted to that. They might have some unfinished business. They might have something they need to take care of. So let's transition then for a moment into psychic phenomena. Is it real? Yes, of course. I mean, we've already talked about experiences, you know, that Vicky and I had way back 15 years ago, and she's been with us now 15 years. That's amazing. Wow. Can't believe that. Anyway, yeah. But we had some very interesting experiences, which we've discussed several times on previous programs. But the point is that, you know, and when I met Vicky for the first time on Skype 15 years ago, she was a student. She's a graduate, right? And so we talked, and my goal was to determine how effective she was as a psychic. I asked her questions, and she answered to them. Blew my mind. Honestly, it blew my mind. There's no way she could have known any of the things I asked about. No way. And it was some interesting stuff. And so I have also come to know and believe and understand and feel that Vicky is, without a doubt, one of the finest spiritual counselors and psychics I've ever met. Probably the finest. And I wanted to pay you that compliment.
Thank you. Thank you.
So,
inject a little story when you talk about this, there's a question in the chat. Kevin is saying, are there evil spirits? And Donna replied, thankfully, with, if they were evil people. I hadn't talked about a former, then late husband in many years. He'd been dead a long time. Never thought about him. Sitting in my office one day, and I felt this energy swoop in, and, oh, it's you, this ex of mine. And he said, well, I want you to know that I'm getting better over here. I said, oh, well, once a narcissist, always a narcissist. Well, now, unless you're coming down here to fix some of the damage you did, don't bother me ever again. And it went away, just like that. But you know, talk about... he was a nasty man. And there can be that energy in those other worlds. Mm-hmm. But again, if you're self-possessed, you know who you are. It's a lot of people like the drama of it. And that's what I'd like to inject is, oh, look what happened to me. Oh, the dead people contacting me.
It's exciting.
It's the them esteem and the need for... attention.
I'm special syndrome.
Absolutely. And I love that saying that you've coined in the body of work that you wrote. And it's this drama. And to me, it's so natural. If there just is no drama, I don't think about it that way. And it's just a natural phenomenon. But my experience is not necessarily going to be your experience.
Yeah.
Everybody experiences through different senses, different translations, you know, in whatever way, but keep your mind open to all kinds of possibilities. Even when it comes to reincarnation, if time is not linear and we also exist on multiple dimensions, we could all be intersecting in this great big bubble, you know? And I'm open to that we live in a linear timeline, so that's kind of what I go with, but keeping an open mind all mm-hmm. the time. But it's if you just know who you are, that's yep. it's as simple Absolutely. As that.
You know, one thing I want to touch on real quick is I love how you talk about being self-possessed. I've loved the discussion on this, and I'm thinking about it too, about how if you're self-possessed, if you know, if you are confident, if you realize that spirit can't harm you, then you don't have anything to worry about. And the same is true a lot of times in regular life, without the paranormal being included, if you're self-possessed, just like you gave those examples. And I just want to throw out that, you know, being able to laugh at something is to take its power away. There's a, you're talking about,
indeed.
You know, ghosts can't drive you out, right? There was a couple jokes. There's a popular bit going around because, you know, rent's so high. There's this guy that does this whole bit about how he has this very angry poltergeist that lives in his house, but the rent is so cheap, he doesn't care. So basically, he just ignores it. It's throwing stuff around. He just walks by it. You know, it's pushing stuff off. He opens the basement door. There's red light coming out of there. He goes down and does his laundry and comes back up without paying any mind. And, you know, you have the ability to take something that might seem ominous. You take its power away when you can just laugh at it and see for what it is. Yeah. I think that applies to general life as well as the paranormal. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah, good point. So
it's a good one. Good one, Michael.
That also reminds me that, you know, if somebody's having a problem with a spirit, so to speak, and you don't want them there, tell them to leave. You know, there's almost an unwritten cosmic rule that boundaries must be respected. It's like the prime directive almost. You know, you must respect boundaries. And that's all this is. You know, if a human being, a flesh and blood person walked in through your front door and started knocking things off your counter, what would you do? You wouldn't be afraid necessarily. You would be angry, perhaps, maybe call the police and get them out of there. But that's the same thing with spirits. You know, they may not even realize they're doing a boundary violation, but that's exactly what it is. And you say that, look, I can't help you. You know, you had to find somebody who can help you, but I can't. I have not invited you into my home, and I want you to leave and never come back. You know, I didn't yell it at him. I didn't wasn't angry, but I was firm. And that's what you have to do. And so, anyway, let's finish up the psychic phenomena business. Yes, it exists. Everybody's capable of it. Everybody has it to one degree or another. Some people are really good at it, just like some people are really good at basketball and baseball and other sports. You know, some people are really good at engineering and science and math. We all have our gifts, and we all have psychic ability to one degree or another. Some have it more. Not every psychic is 100%. It's just what it is. And where are they getting their information? It is my belief that it comes from the Akashic record. Some say that's, you know, the hologram universe that we live in, the layer of it. But that's a whole nother story. So anyway, those are some thoughts on spirits and ghosts and psychic phenomena. Let's switch over to ufology, UFOs, aliens. In my opinion, it is an obvious, self-evident fact that life exists elsewhere all over the universe. It's ubiquitous in one form or another, including intelligent life. It is also my belief that it is a self-evident fact that aliens are visiting this planet. Why? In my opinion, it's to study us. I mean, that's what we would do, and we will do at some point down the road in the distant future when we're able to do that kind of space travel. But they're here. There's been way too many credible reports and by credible people that they saw something. It just is. And so I just look. I get to the point where I see, you know, some video pop up on Facebook or YouTube or whatever about a UFO. I basically, okay, cool. And I move on because I don't need it proven to me anymore. You know, this whole disclosure project thing. Yeah, it should be done. But if you believe that it's a self-evident fact that they're here, then you don't need disclosure. They're here. They're in our skies. In fact, I really wonder how many you know, legitimate UFOs were in the sky today watching the Artemis II lift off, you know, and they're still watching it. I mean, they've been sighted by the space shuttle crews and space, the space station crews. So they're here. No biggie. They're not mean. They're not harmful. Why do I believe that? And this is going to go back to Dr. Kevin's question earlier on regarding the newsletter, which I'll touch on abductions too. But here's the deal. Think about it. If you are a civilization that has been able to achieve faster than light travel, warp speed, if you will, that's not easy to do. And if you have developed that, then that means that you, as a civilization, have not annihilated yourself. In other words, you've grown spiritually and ethically. You understand that, you know. So if you've been around long enough to develop faster than light technology, then you necessarily have evolved spiritually. I mean, Star Trek is such a beautiful vision of that in the future. You know, I hope that's what happens. You know, they accept people, different people. You know, the pigmentation of your skin is irrelevant to them, and it's irrelevant to many of us, probably all of us listening to this. But I don't care what color your skin is. We're all human beings. We're all stardust. Even the aliens that are visiting us come from stardust, the same stuff we come from. And who knows, maybe we're even related to a degree DNA-wise, but I don't know that. But they're there. And so if they're here, out there, watching us, studying us, whatever, does that mean they're abducting people? And this is what the newsletter went into. And I'm just going to gloss over it a little bit. But some of these, quote, experts are saying that, you know, millions of people a year are being abducted by aliens. And the newsletter went into the logistics for that. You know, do you realize how many spaceships they would need on a 24/7 basis to abduct millions of people, and the logistics, the support personnel, the motherships? You know, I'm sorry, it's beyond reason. It's unreasonable to think that. Now, the people who feel like they've been abducted, what's going on with them? I don't know. It could be many things. It could be psychological. It could be sleep paralysis. It could be, I mean, there's something going on, but I don't believe that it's alien abductions. I don't believe that they're abducting people. Now, could there be a civilization that, you know, is out to get you? There could be. It's possible. However, but because I believe that if you can develop faster than light travel, you must necessarily have developed spiritually and evolved as beings, enlightened beings. And so therefore, you're not going to go around, you know, taking over planets. What's the point? There's so many planets with so many resources out there that don't have intelligent life on them. Why would they come here? Why do they need us? We'll say, well, the Greys, they need us for some DNA injection. You know, they're from the future. They're us from the future. You know, is it possible? It could be. Is it likely? Is it plausible? In my opinion, no. But you're free to think what you think, believe what you want to believe. You know, so, I mean, I've seen UFOs. They're cool. I've seen them in real life, you know, not up close and personal, but I've seen them. Now, were they aliens? I can't say that definitely that they were, you know, seemed like they were, but, you know, most of the sightings we have are, they're our stuff, not their stuff, right? It's 95% of these sightings are not aliens. They're government projects and other things. So was Roswell true? Well, it seems like it. It's unfortunate that they had to crash, you know, but that's another story too. Any questions on that? I hope Dr. Kevin, I sort of answered that a little bit.
Well, I think there are basic universal laws that every species follows. Yeah. And the law of non-interference is the big one.
Yeah.
Unless it's going to affect them. Yeah. There are cases and documented cases of UFOs interfering with nuclear testing, shooting them out of the sky. And I know.
Good. Thank you. Thank you, aliens.
And yeah, so they, I mean, it's so there's basic laws. So the law of non-interference, unless it's going to impact me, and they follow that. I believe that. Mm-hmm. Are there abductions? Sure. I think, but I'm with you on the numbers because a lot of things are all in
any
the numbers.
Abduction. These abductions, if they are happening, they're a heinous boundary violation, and these aliens need to be tried for crimes against humanity.
Well, but I think we should be tried for crimes against humanity, too, for using different species for all of our testing. And
of course.
Of course, humans.
But
yeah, and I think that every species might have its underlings, you know, like even in the Buddhist community. They have only the very few people who will deal with meat. There's like, because that, as they say, their karma. Nobody else will, you know, do the killing or the preparing of meat. There's only a designated few. So if you think about, you know, these kinds of ideas that maybe there are a designated few, it's possible.
But I don't know if they're abducting somebody to cure the cancer. Cool. Why don't they do that with every human?
I don't think it matters. I think that unless someone, you know, they're dealing with their own trauma, and, you know, they have fear, you know.
We're talking about people or the aliens right now?
People. Okay. You know, if people have fear, I think that goes around. Who knows? I have met people and talked to them about their abduction experiences, and it's a very real phenomenon to them.
Yes, it is.
And it's not to invalidate their experience.
No, and I don't want to do that either.
But to my point is to shift into non-fear, and as we talked about earlier, self-possession. Because if you say no to them, they have to abide.
They must. Exactly. They must.
They must.
So if you're an abductee, you say no, you make it clear. This is a boundary violation. You are not allowed to do this. You stay away from me and never come back.
Yep.
You know, they must respect that. They must. And I've actually used that with abductees in the past, helping them through hypnosis, helping them to take their power back, to put their foot down, saying no more. We're done here. This is a boundary violation, and it is wrong. And I don't – and whether they are literally being abducted or not, it didn't matter because they believed it. And that's what matters, you know, belief, consciousness.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. So let's move on to the last category is cryptozoology. And I won't spend all that much time on it, but I – you know, when it comes to cryptids like Bigfoot, does Bigfoot exist? Well – I believe it does. I believe it does. I don't know how to explain it, nobody does. I don't know. I mean, I have a lot of respect for the late Dr. Jeff Meldrum, who was a professor in Boise, Idaho, and he recently passed away, and not very old either. I mean, he was in his, maybe 50s-ish, late 50s, something like that. But he was a scientist, and, you know, he studied the Patterson-Gimlin film, and he believed that it was a real creature, and he explains why. You can look all this up, you know, on YouTube or wherever, but I believe that Bigfoot does exist, and I believe it exists in many different parts of the world. Why we can't seem to prove one, and why we don't find any bodies, and do they bury their dead, or... You know, some have posited that they're from a different dimension and they pop in every now and then, or the dimensions overlap. But then I have to wonder, well, if that's the case, then why aren't we seeing other kinds of creatures, you know, and that sort of thing. But, you know, there's that. And then, but there are many cryptids, which are just flesh and blood animals that have been around and just difficult to capture or difficult to scientifically describe, as they say. So You know, and these blob squatch photos, whether a UFO or a Bigfoot, you know, that's unfortunate. It's so, you know, so funny to me, speaking of UFO photos, isn't it funny, and I mean funny ironic, how we had far more clear pictures of UFOs 50, 60, 70 years ago than we do now with all the billions of cell phone cameras, you know?
That's true. That's true.
I mean, it's like, are those real? Come on. You know, really? I don't think so. But they're hard. They're hard to capture. You know, they're hard to get. And we've gotten some good photos here and there. But you can never tell anymore. Isn't that right? All thanks to AI now. You know, you can't trust any picture. You know, whether it's Bigfoot or UFO. Anyway, but I believe that there are a lot of cryptids out there waiting to be discovered. Of course, probably the majority of them are in the oceans. But, you know, it's exciting to know what we might discover out there. And so if you are out looking for Bigfoot, you know, just use your common sense, level head, you know, and see what you can find.
You know, it's the indigenous communities believe that, you know, Bigfoot traveled between the dimensions. That's a very common belief. And that there are different kinds of, there's three different kinds of Bigfoot on the planet, and only one of them is a meat eater. But
really?
And so it's a, you know, again, I like to go back to the old folklore. And rather than what we have now, because what can you believe? But there's the other thing about indigenous communities believe that Earth is a living being and it has to have a certain amount of energy to pulsate and to survive. So for every one species that goes extinct, another one appears. And it's interesting that there's always some discovery of a species. For all that we know or don't know, you know, it's, and I find that fascinating. There was a time years ago where we were seeing, you know, certainly in northern Canada and my indigenous friends were seeing things that would come out of nowhere and species we'd never seen before. And one of them that I kept seeing in a tree on the same road was this bird that looked like a part owl, part hawk, part something. And I was telling an elder that I'd have never seen this bird. What's it doing here? It's like from the spirit world, but it's here. And she said, we're seeing all kinds of things. But many years later on the web, I came across that bird. And it's a putu bird that's in South America, not ever seen up here. And so it's that energy shifting in other dimensions on the planet. And you know, just go with it. And then for some reason, it kind of subsided. You know, things kind of quietened down.
Here's the thing. This is the thing that I'll leave everybody with. The one thing that I have come to understand on my own is, over the years of trying to explore and investigate all these various different phenomena, whether it's ancient aliens, ancient runes, Bigfoot, UFOs, whatever it is, ghost spirits, psychic ability. The one common denominator I have found in many cases, not all, but many, is that of fear and confusion. If you're not afraid of it, you're confused by it. If you're not confused by it, you're afraid of it, type of thing. So many, it's those two, they're threaded through everything. It's like, what do we make of what you were just talking about? You know, a funky bird showing up out of place, you know, Bigfoot zipping in and out or whatever, UFOs, you know, and so many times the phenomena can contradict other phenomena that you witnessed. You can witness two different phenomena and they contradict. If one's true, the other can't be. So how can they both be true? You know, fear and confusion. So I'll leave everybody with that. And I will say I appreciate everybody's time and attention, whether you're listening to the live program or the archives. Thank you for being part of this. Thank you for being part of ICMH and IMHS or TFU. And if you're a student who...
kind of hate to see you go. We were having a great conversation.
Well, you guys got cars to do and all that. But I do want to throw out there, if you're a student who's, you know, been away from it for a while and you want to get back, just email me or call me. You have all my information. Just do that, and I'll see what we can do to get you, help you get going again. And don't forget, everyone, that graduation 2026 is coming up here in a month or so. It's in the newsletters, on the website, on your dashboard, whether you're TFU or IMHS, you can see it. And there's even a roster available there. So if you have earned your bachelor's or master's or doctoral degree since graduation last May, you'll be on that list. And whichever degree, the highest degree, is the one you'll graduate with. So if you just get your bachelor's, then fine, you'll graduate with your bachelor's. And then next year, you'll do your master's or doctoral. But if you've gotten all three, then you'll be graduating with your doctoral degree. So anyway, don't forget that. And, of course, Dr. Michael and Dr. Vicky will both be on that program and have some pertinent thoughts to add, to offer on that program. So anyway.
And I'll be celebrating my 15 years.
Yep, 15 years. Amazing. Okay. It's been great. I mean, none of this, IMHS, TFU, ICMH would not be what it is without Vicky. You know,
I mean, thank you.
C and I created, you know, the inner Oracle cards. God, it's been 10 or more years, you know, that it's been like 11, 12 years ago. We created those, you know, came up with a concept, which, by the way, was suggested from a previous student at the time. And so I said, hey, I want to do these cards. Will you help me? And she said, yeah. She said, heck yeah.
They're great cards. They're great.
Yeah, oh, they're great. So anyway, everybody, I will let you guys get to your cards. And
thank you, Dr. Douglas Kelly.
Thanks to everybody. Take care. Good night, Vicky, and see you later, buddy.
Well, I always look forward to having you on every first of the month, and that was a really good discussion. So thank you so much for being here. And
my pleasure.
Speaking of those wonderful inner Oracle cards, yours, we have some folks in the chat. So
we do. You know, they've been putting their names in and saying, "Gee, if you're drawing cards, I'd sure like one." So let's get to it. We have a few inner Oracle self-discovery cards, and I say this really, it's Dr. Doug Kelly's work, body of work in those cards. So it has to go, credit due. You know, I was a support. That's that. And then I draw back up tarot, and we'll see what we got.
Absolutely. And let's not forget about the vocal delivery of the description of the cards, too, and how much that brings to the table if we're going to be considering all angles. But we do have some folks lined up. But I'm just going to say this real quick. I've been spending a lot of years, you know, going through the inner Oracle cards, reading out the descriptions for each of the cards and talking about them. And, God, if it doesn't contain just a lot of the lessons that you can find in the Institute, TF University, in everything that's done here. But, man, it really makes me think about all the conversations I've had with my father over the years. And it's some good stuff. It makes me think about it from time to time, too. So hopefully it does that for you. And, Dr. Jeff, I got you up first. And for you to start us out, I have number 6, boundaries. It's important for you to establish clear boundaries for yourself. Equally, it's necessary to be aware of others and to not overstep or encroach their boundaries. This is a mark of a self-complete individual. Reassess and assertively protect your healthy boundaries while looking to see if you're overstepping elsewhere. Begin with asking yourself, who owns me?
Well, Dr. Jeff, blind outdoorsman, plug on social media. Boundaries with the 10 of diamonds. I think this has to do with, finances, budgets, just establishing better kind of a parameter, if you will, of investment, investment and return. Now, because you don't get a return right away on some investment doesn't mean it's not worth the investment. Sometimes you have to wait and, you know, kind of let it kind of come around. But I think that there might be something you're sitting down with Shauna, perhaps, and saying, okay, what do we have? What are we working on? Where's it going? And so on. And it's not to get stressed about it. because I'm not feeling any stress, although you might be. I'm not feeling any stress about it. It's just, you know, setting up those parameters and those boundaries. Hope that makes sense, Jeff. We have Dawn first, I think. Next. Yep.
And Dawn, for you, I have our first wild card. Wild card number 7, Hope. Hope lives deep within and inspires the human spirit to continue and expand. Hope, in and of itself, does not create life. Rather, hope desires life. Hope is the root of curiosity, interest, invention, and yearning for more. Even when all feels lost and futile, hope is resurrected by a change of beliefs and core values. Safeguard your hope, for it's the first and last failsafe of your existence. Do not promote false hope, nor encourage codependent hope.
I pulled the Two of Spades, and I thought of pulling another card, and I thought, no, I think it speaks for itself. I call it one of the bat cards, using your radar. Kind of being at an impasse in something, unsure about what to do or to think about something. And in this case, it's just about time. You know, keeping hope, give it some time. Let things unfold and use your intuition. What does your sense tell you? Your senses. And, you know, sometimes silence speaks volumes. That's kind of what I want to add in there, Dawn. So consider that, and I hope it makes sense in some way in your life. Just use your intuition, you know, your good senses about things, and be hopeful. Because you have every good reason to feel hopeful. And remember, people are just people. People are people. So,
very true.
And we have Amy right behind Dawn there.
All right, Amy, for you, I have number 14, Energy Shift, New Chapter. Energy shifts are a natural result from increased awareness, knowledge, and attitudes that naturally open the chapters in one's life. It's an excellent time to clarify your vision during this time of shifting energy. Reflect, gather your energy, breathe, and step forward with a renewed sense of direction. Out with the old, and in with the new.
I love temperance with that. Temperance is, I always think of water with temperance, is go with the flow. But you're in an energy shift. Now, sometimes we don't know what's going on, and that's because we want control. But we don't have to have control. If you just say, I'm going to ride this out and be curious, curiosity is everything in being human, you know. Just go with the flow. And it's okay to say, boy, something's going on here and I don't know who I am. That's okay because you're going to discover yourself in a new way. And that's... Nobody has a better relationship with you than you do with yourself. Because nobody's in your head but you, Amy. So just know that it's okay to go with the flow and give yourself a little break and say we're in an energy shift and it's really interesting. So I hope that makes sense to you. Okay, Lupe.
All right. Lupe, welcome, and for you tonight, I have, let's see, wild card number 5, Don't Hate. A low energy signature refuses to learn more in order to better accept and understand others. Hate grows in this low frequency. The result is fear, demonstrated as the need to criticize and control others. This is how wars begin, whether it's in relationships, within families, or between countries. Understanding does not mean one has to agree. It means that you rise above the low frequency to do no harm and do right to yourself and others. That's a good card.
You know, it really is. And when you get the Ten of Clubs behind that, the Ten of Wands, ooh, things can feel challenging. And look, it doesn't mean all of life is challenging. It just means there's a thread of life, because life is in threads. There's multiple things going on at all times in our lives. So, you know, it's just that this one thread of your life, Lupe, might feel a little challenging, stressful. The encouraging thing, especially with that Ten of Clubs, is you're getting to the destination. So barring the frustration, barring some little bit of anger here and there, you know, and totally get it. You know, we're all human. We get it. Is just, you know, kind of try to rise above it a little bit. And it doesn't mean you're hating. It just means that a little bit of frustration. And it's going to be okay. And I'm not saying that to blow smoke here. I'm telling you that it's going to be okay. So, you know, patience, calm, and you're going to get there just fine. Mm-hmm. It's okay.
I like it.
Hope that makes sense to you, too. And thanks for the feedback, everybody. And I'm not going to repeat it on live on air, but it means a lot to me because I, you know, my late teacher, bless her, she would say, never be prejudiced. Enter every session as though it's brand new and you've never done it before. And I took that to heart over 50 years ago. I still do. I have no idea what I'm talking about, but I just roll with it. Like it's the first time.
Usually my
and but I appreciate that because it does keep me going. Oh, okay. And I'm always fascinated by it. I'm always interested in what the hell goes on in my brain. It's really interesting. Anyway, we have Kevin next.
Kevin, always glad to see you. And tonight for you, I have number 24, Truth. There are many ways to discover cosmic truth. It begins with knowing who you are and why you are who you are. This is your truth. Discovering cosmic truth involves further discovering the truths that are often concealed within a relationship or a life situation. Yet, the only truths kept secret from us are those we will not see. This is a time of deep introspection to intuitively gauge the way ahead. This card may indicate that there is truth in something or direction.
Judgment. Judgment generally indicates an announcement of some kind or a declaration. My first thought here, Kevin, is that somebody may reveal something about themselves you didn't know before. And there's kind of you're reconciling that in your mind, or things are becoming more honest. And what I'm hearing is a really honest conversation. And so it's again with no judgment. So you have judgment, but it really means no judgment when you have, especially when you have truth beside that. So I think that's the message here, that perhaps something you've been curious about or wondering about or something you sensed but couldn't put your finger on it is going to be kind of revealed to you and in a really good way. And I think that's, you know, what, as soon as I say that and I feel it, it's like, oh, that makes sense. And you feel better, like you weren't nuts. So, you know, it's because sometimes we feel like we're a little bit nuts when we think things in our head, you know, so, but you're not. So I hope that, you know, comes about into play for you. Audra, I think that's the last card of our night. So
I think so. Audra.
Let's see how Audra's doing.
All right. Let's hope this hits for you, Audra. I got number 8, balance and order. With this card, balance and order in life or in a specific area is present or it needs to be. If experiencing adversity, look for what is out of its proper order. Adversity is a state of disorder. Once order is restored, that adversity fades. Moreover, self-completeness and success will ensue once order and balance are restored to the life leadership paragon areas of self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will.
Wow, got the Queen of Wands. I have always seen the Queen of Wands is the Mother Earth, the overseer, the, you know, we were talking about self-possession earlier. And what I want to say to you, Audra, is I know you've been through a lot these last few years, but it's this, man, you're a rock. You know who you are now. You're standing firm. It's not just confidence, it's self-certainty. and having reclaimed some order in your life. And you're saying, no, I'm good. Like being the woman that you are. And it's like having a moment where you're saying, you know, I did good and I've arrived. And what happens then is, because I always say, if you're emotionally attached to things or you have a lot of emotion, your intuition sucks. It just isn't going to work because we're always interpreting it in a way that fits our frame. But now where you're at is you're not attached and your intuition is waking up in a whole new way. And I'm so happy for you. Like that's a good on you, Audra. That's a really powerful message. So that's a huge affirmation that spirits are recognizing that for you. And good on you. You done good. But you've earned it. I mean, It took a lot of work to get where you are. So, you know, I would like to remind people, everyone goes through periods of kind of despair, futility or hopelessness or all those other dark emotions, you know, because everybody in the course of life comes across situation they've never dealt with before. They're afraid. We're all afraid. You know, we all want control and things to go the way we want. Then they don't and we panic. Every human being deals with things a little differently. But I'd like to remind everybody you're not alone. And when you work through that and you come across another challenge, remind yourself of what you've already been through. And it's if you've been through that, you got this. You know, you've got this. It may be new. It may be different. It's something you haven't encountered before. But, hey, it's something to do. And I know this sounds kind of callous in a way. When somebody tells me they've got cancer, I say, well, I'm really sorry to hear that. But, something to do. And at first it takes them off, but
that's what we're looking at.
You know, that's what it is. It's something to do. You know, it gives us a perspective of life. Challenges. If we didn't have challenges, we can't grow. We can't learn. Yeah. And I'm the first one to tell you, at near 71 years old, I'm learning something every day. Yeah. Even if it's the smallest thing of, I didn't know there was, you know, square bread tins. Like, I didn't know that.
Wait, back. Square bread
with
tins?
With lids? I didn't know. I mean, what the hell? Huh. My friend says, Vicky, you don't go shopping. You don't like shopping and seeing what's out there. You said, well, you're right about that. But there's more profound things I didn't know. Like, I hadn't thought about that, or I didn't have that interaction or that exchange. And thanks, Audra. She said, when I say my experience with cancer as a teen had some positives, people are confused. Oh, Audra, my heart's with you. I learned so much about myself. I've had two dealings with cancer, and one was way more impactful than the other. And the second time was, here's something else to do. And there's other things, but everybody has that. So I just want to remind you that you've got this. No matter what's going on in the world, don't let them push you around out there. Be yourself. Keep learning about yourself. Keep growing. And know that it is what it is, and we got this. You know, there are far worse things than death, people. Far worse things than death. The whole point is, how do you get dead? It's what I say. Dead is easy. Getting there is a trip. So between here and there, we got this.
Well,
still here.
One could also argue that death is how to die right and to do it right is to the best of your ability. It's kind of almost an art, right? It's easy to die. It's tough to live sometimes. There's a balance in
exactly.
between. But, no, I tell you, it makes me think about all those vampire books where they go crazy from living too long. But,
well, you know, I mean, we all have our challenges, and everybody has their own ride. Everybody has their own trip. And, Michael, you and I have talked. Life isn't always what we dreamed or hoped, but that's your particular ride. Mm-hmm. And then we have to work into the acceptance of, oh, this is my ride. And be okay with that, you know? Yeah. I have to admit, though, I know we're nearly done. I have to admit that I lost my cool a little bit shopping the other day at the cash register, putting my stuff through the groceries, about to start bagging my stuff, and this mother and her kid got right up and close and personal with me, where the kid's shoulder is touching my shoulder, wanting to get on the keypad, but their stuff isn't even moving through yet. And I put my hand up to both of them in their face, and I said, back up. Right now, back all the way up. I couldn't stop myself. Because, oh, talk about nobody learned anything through COVID. And the cashier is smiling and chuckling under her breath. But it's, come on, people. So I did. I kind of, you know, short-circuited for a minute. But at the same time, that's what's required to remind people, to teach people. There was no harm done. It's just back up. Don't crowd me. I'm good. But after that, I decided, you know what? I'm going to just take my time. I'm not pushing through fast. I'm taking my time, and I want everybody to chill out. So... that was my great confession of the day.
Well, anyway. I mean, come on, it's always good advice.
Hey, listen, I've really enjoyed tonight, and thanks for Dr. Douglas Kelly for joining us and talking about paranormal and all kinds of cool stuff. Mm-hmm. It's always fun to talk about. And we'll be back next week with another, of course, titillating show.
It will. We will. Or will we? It is April Fool's. Who knows what's true and what's false. But,
that's right.
No, it has been a great discussion. I love getting back to some of these classics, because, you know, our views on them evolved even subtly over time. And I think one of the great things said earlier is that we all have to come to these truths ourselves, for ourselves, given what we know.
Yep.
Because it's a big, wide, messy world out there. I mean, we're one of trillions of planets in a vast universe that's unending. You know, a lot of stuff's going on. You know, we're all trying to keep up. But also, don't forget to enjoy your life. You know, take pleasure in the small things. And,
absolutely.
Yeah, that's my two cents. So, it is that time of the evening, though. And as we wrap up, just want to throw it to you, Dr. Vicki. Any last thoughts before we sign off?
Yeah, I appreciate everybody. I want to say that. 15 years, I appreciate the school. I appreciate the church. I appreciate this program. And I just appreciate you very much. Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of your lives and part of this experience, which I will reiterate when we come to graduation time.
That's very wonderfully said. Although it is April Fool's, so, you know, who knows. But
I could be joking.
I have some clinical, you know, issue where I need to, you know, be lighthearted and banter. But no, you said it beautifully, Dr. Vicki, and, you know, likewise, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you. I can't tell you how much I love seeing everybody every week. No, this is definitely one of the true joys of my life, so thank you. And, well, you know, it is that time of the evening, so I know we're going to have a great topic next week. I don't think we know what it is yet, do we?
Nah,
we don't know what it is yet. We'll figure it out. But hey, until we see you next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.